Ladies and gentlemen, hello Budapest. I'm so thrilled to be here again. As some of you might remember, last year I gave here a speech as well about the Great Replacement. I wanted the whole world to know that the Great Replacement theory was in fact not a theory, but reality. White people are becoming a minority in their own homelands at an exceptionally fast rate. I knew that addressing that subject was a risky thing to do. But anyone who knows me knows that I don't exactly shy away from controversial conversations if I believe that they need to be had. On my way back home, I posted my speech on X. After a mere 24 hours, the speech hit 30 million views.
Thank you.
It was the ultimate sign to me that the people were not just ready to have this conversation, but that they were in fact dying to have it. Their concerns and experiences that had been ridiculed and dismissed for decades were finally being brought to light. Indeed, the people were ready to have this conversation, but the elites were not. Hours after I posted the speech to YouTube, it was taken down. The mainstream media went absolutely berserk, of course, and they called me a fascist and every other name in the book. And then Reuters, surprise, surprise, wrote an article saying that all of it was disinformation. But after years of fighting this fight, ladies and gentlemen, those things don't really faze me anymore. And now, thanks to the power of X and thanks to the fearless people of CPAC, here we are once again, 1 year later. What has changed in that 1 year? For me personally, a lot. I became a wife to my wonderful husband, Francesco. And I became a mom to our beautiful baby boy, Filippo Leonard. But politically, even more happened. And I want to start off with the good news. Donald J. Trump won the elections and is currently, once again, the President of the United States of America. And not only did he win the elections, he is making America great again at such a record speed that it's hard to keep up with. Within just months, Trump managed to start mass deportations, banned sex change procedures for children, and he left both the World Health Organization and the Paris Agreement. It's incredible to see a leader stick to his promises and deliver. And that's where we get to the bad news. Where America is on a path to cultural revival, order, and economic prosperity, Europe is heading for total and utter destruction. In last year's speech, I walked you through an average week in Europe, talked about rapes, stabbings, and terror attacks that were committed by migrants and still are committed by migrants on a daily basis. Because since then, ladies and gentlemen, things have only deteriorated here in Europe. Many experts have been warning for years now that a civil war is impending. But I believe that our reality is actually worse than that. In a civil war, there are two sides fighting. Here in Europe, only one side is. And I can tell you that it's not us. It's not the white native population of Europe. That doesn't mean, though, that the average European is okay with all of this. We are trying to constitute change through the official channels, but so far, with no luck. For example, in my country, the Netherlands, Geert Wilders' party got a whopping 25% of the votes in the elections of 2023. That's more than he's ever gotten before. And Wilders' single most important aim has been to close the border. In fact, our current government has implemented the, and I quote, toughest immigration policy our nation has ever seen. The result? 130,000 immigrants entered in the past year alone. Despite Wilders' efforts, so much so for the toughest immigration policy we've ever seen. And this is a pattern we see everywhere in Europe. Right-wing parties win the elections. In some countries, they even win with 30% of the votes. But since they never gain an absolute majority, coalitions have to be formed. And what always ends up happening is either one of the three following options. Option A, despite the right wing winning, the centrist parties then say, oh no, but that party is too extreme for us and we don't want to form a coalition with them. Or option B, even if a coalition does get formed, the policies get watered down so much so that nobody gets what they voted for. Or C, and this is something that we see increasingly often in Europe, the legal system steps in and thwarts all true right-wing efforts by deeming the policies to be in violation of European law and human rights. And I haven't even come to the fact that our legal system is also targeting individuals at an exceptionally fast rate. Not just politicians and activists, but also private citizens who dare to speak out against the regime are being targeted, arrested, prosecuted, and even sent to prison. Keir Starmer, also known as Two-Tier Keir, is an absolute master at that. He is turning the UK into one of the most unfree countries in Europe. Right now, he's even looking to introduce sentencing guidelines under which white men will be punished harsher than women and minorities. Ladies and gentlemen, last time I checked, there is a word for that: apartheid. And allow me to give you a few more examples of how dire the state of the rule of law in Europe really is. 2 weeks ago, I gave a speech in Milan at a re-migration summit. Right before the conference was supposed to take place, a couple of young German activists, decided to travel to Italy, but were notified by the German government that they were banned from leaving the country. Why? Well, because it would damage Germany's reputation. Yes, you heard me right. Potentially damaging your government's reputation, whatever that may be, is now ground for them to take away your constitutional rights. Heroically, those young activists decided to come anyway, so they crossed the border into Italy and attended the conference. But upon their arrival back in Germany, they were met at the airport by a heavily armed police force and brought into detainment. All of that simply for attending a conference to talk about the subjects that the elites don't want you to talk about. My last example is a personal one. A few weeks ago, I got a notification from Apple saying that my phone was under mercenary spyware attack. Mercenary spyware. So we're talking highly sophisticated, government-level spyware that is used for counter-terrorism. That means that they can look at me through my camera in real time, they can listen to my conversations, and they can go through every single file on my phone. That is what happens in Europe when a perfectly normal, law-abiding citizen goes against the grain. So, let's face the facts here. Democracy is dead. Stone cold, dead. However, the illusion of democracy is very much kept alive. We are being ruled by leaders who claim that they are democratic leaders, and they force us to play along with their games. In fact, many people do so happily. And that is what makes modern-day tyranny arguably worse than what we see in the history books. In the DDR, you at least knew that the government was listening in on you. In the USSR, you at least knew that going against the government could end you in the gulags. In Mao Zedong's China, going against the government was something that surely would have you met with violence. But make no mistake, being a dissident now is just as dangerous as it was back then. Our regime uses pretty words to hide their intentions, but they pervert and invert our definitions all the time. They say that to maintain peace in Europe, we need to go to war with Russia. They say that to protect democracy, we have to ban right-wing parties. And they say that to safeguard freedom of speech, they need to censor disinformation. Just like in Orwell's 1984, war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we can find the embodiment of that regime in one person in particular. The worst leader of them all, the president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. America got 4 more years of Trump. We, here in Europe, got 5 more years of Ursula von der Leyen. The thing is, though, that no one ever voted for Ursula von der Leyen. No one ever voted for her, yet she is one of the most powerful people in Europe, and she's implementing some of the most destructive policies that our continent has ever seen. Just to give you a few examples, she's the one who introduced the Green Deal, crippling our economy. She's the one who introduced the migration pact, replacing our native population. And now she's attacking our national sovereignty even further by introducing the ReArm Europe program, an 800 billion euro defense fund mostly used for Ukraine, a country that isn't and should never be part of the European Union. And last but not least, when are we ever going to see those text messages in which she closed a 35 billion euro deal with Albert Bulla, the CEO of Pfizer? As I told you earlier, Ursula von der Leyen and the Eurocrats are most likely the ones reading my private messages, those of a private citizen. When are we going to see hers, those of a public servant, spending billions and billions of our taxpayers' money? Ursula von der Leyen thinks she is untouchable. She thinks she is above the law. But we are here today to remind her that she is not. So, allow me to take this moment, look straight into the camera, and speak truth to power for a moment. Mrs. von der Leyen, do you think about what you have done? Do you think about the people who suffer because of your policies? Do you think about the people who have died because of the vaccine that you pushed on them, that you bought behind closed doors? Mrs. von der Leyen, do you ever think about the cries of the mothers who cry at night because their children were raped or murdered by immigrants that you let in. Do you ever think about the farmers whose entire life's work were destroyed because you pushed the communist agenda? Do you ever think about the people who cannot afford food for their children because you implemented policies that are crippling our economy while you were able to send your 7 children off to the most expensive schools in Europe? Do you ever think about that? I bet you don't. I bet you don't, because none of this is happening in your backyard. But, ladies and gentlemen, I do. I think about those people. I think about them. I will not forget them. So let me promise you right here, right now, I will not stop fighting for them. I will not stop fighting for the truth, and I will not stop fighting for my people. The time of zero accountability will come to an end, and I will promise you, we will make Europe great again.